Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, brother. Good stuff right there, amen. Hey, are you excited to be here today? What about the ones watching online? Are you excited? Guess what? God's got something for us. God got a quick message for us today. Your title today is this: Christ's Final Sacrifice for Our True Devotion. Christ's Final Sacrifice for Our True Devotion. We'll go ahead and give you your main scripture, and we'll get into that in a minute. But the main scripture comes from the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 38 through 44. Mark 12, 38 through 44, NIV version, says it this way. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and have the most important seats in the synagogues, and the place of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for a show, make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished severely, most severely." And Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people, let me get that word out, many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only about a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor woman that has put more into the treasury than all the others, they all gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty. Put in everything, all she had to live on." Amen. Let's pray real fast. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your message today, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to have you use me today, Lord. As always, I ask you, get Ronnie out of the way right now, Lord. Lord, allow your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Jesus. May you open our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, for the blessing and the message that you have for us today, Lord. Lord, as always, we ask you to be in our midst, Lord, falling fresh with fire on each one of us today, Lord. May you give us a new understanding, a new leaning, and a new desire for your love, Lord, and your mercy and your grace, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do. Amen. I pray. And everybody say it. Amen. All righty. Here we go. Your first scripture is actually going to come from the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 24 through 28. Hebrews 9, 24, 28, NIV says this: "For Christ did not enter the sanctuary made with human hands, that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again. The way of the high priest enters the most high or the most holy place every year with the blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of this world. But he has appeared once for all as a culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as the people are destined to die once, and after that to face final judgment, so Christ has sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, that he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation for those who are waiting for him." Amen. I don't know about you, but I get excited when I think about what God has done for us. When I think about how much he loves us. Amen. And I don't know about you, but this scripture that we're looking at this morning, the Hebrews part, it's pretty profound, isn't it? It's addressing Christ's unique and all-sufficient sacrifice for all of humanity. Guess what, guys? All of humanity means all of us. Amen. It reveals not only the depth of God's love, but also the finality and the completeness completeness, I get that word out, of Christ's work on the cross. This passage from Hebrews brings us to the heart of the gospel. Jesus, our high priest, entered into the presence of God on our behalf, not with the blood of animals, but with his own precious blood. Amen. Hebrews 9:24-28 calls us to reflect on what it means that Christ has offered himself once and for all, and know that this impacts each one of our lives even today. Amen. We look forward to that heavenly sanctuary. Verse 24, for Christ did not enter the sanctuary made with human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Here the author of Hebrews distinguishes between the earthly temple and the heavenly realm, don't he? The earthly temple, with its sacrifices and rituals, was a shadow or a copy of the true sanctuary that we would see in heaven. Christ's entry into heaven itself tells us that his work goes well beyond our earthly rituals and our sacrifices. He's not limited to human institutions, is he? Or physical structures. The temple that Christ entered is in heaven, where God dwells. Jesus went to the ultimate holy place, didn't he? The one and only big holy place. He went there for all of us. He is in the presence of the Father continually today. Amen. Continuing to intercede for us each and every time we have a need. He provided our perfect sacrifice, didn't he? Verse 25 and 26 reads, nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once and for all at the accumulation of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Unlike the Old Testament sacrifices, which had to be repeated every year, didn't they? The Old Testament, they had to repeat every year for what they thought had to be effective. Amen? Christ's sacrifice, Jesus' sacrifice for us, was a one-time event and eternal significance for us. Animal sacrifices were a temporary covering for a sin, a remainder of the gap between God and humanity. But Jesus himself, as the Lamb of God, came to bridge that gap permanently for us. When we grasp this, we understand that the power of his word once and for all. Jesus' sacrifice is not partial, is it? It's not halfway done. Amen? It's not just mediocre. Amen? It's full. It was complete. Amen? He did not need to suffer repeatedly because of his one sacrifice was enough for all of us. Cover all of our sin. Back then and all through today. And guess what, guys? Even in the future. Amen? When he died, he declared what? It is finished. Amen. We also see the final judgment in the scripture here. Verse 27-28 says, just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Each one of us, amen, whether we're saved or not saved, guess what? Each one of us has an appointment, don't we? We have an appointment with death. We have an appointment with judgment. Amen. Yet our Christ took our judgment upon himself, didn't he? And because of his sacrifice, we can approach God without fear, knowing that we are cleansed. Amen. Not like the Old Testament, where you got to be done every year, but we're cleansed year after year after year. Amen. But Hebrews doesn't end there, does it? It points towards the future. Christ's first coming dealt with sin, and his second coming will bring salvation in full for everyone that knows him. Amen. When Christ returns, it'll not be to bear sin again. That work is already completed, isn't it? He will return to bring us into His full salvation, to wipe every tear, and to make all things new. This is our blessed hope, isn't it? That we have been saved. That we have been saved, or being saved, and that we will be saved completely when He returns. What does that mean for us here today? It means this. It means that we live with an assurance in our hearts that the weight of our sin has been taken by our Christ. And there's nothing that we can do to add to that finished work, is there? Our relationship with God is not based upon our sacrifices, is it? It's not based on our efforts or our striving. No, it is entirely based upon Jesus' once for all sacrifice. How many of y'all are glad He did that for you? Amen?
Amen.
It means that we can come boldly before God, knowing that Jesus is in heaven interceding for us. Again, each time that we have to. And it means that we live with hopeful expectations in our lives, looking forward to the day that He would return. Not to deal with sin. That's already been done, right? But to bring us into the fullness of His glory. In your section of Scripture today, the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 38 through 44, this passage provides us with both a warning against hypocrisy and a model of true devotion. Passages bring us into a scene where Jesus Himself is teaching in the temple. He speaks to His disciples, issuing a warning about the religious leaders. Then He shifts their attention to a poor widow who in her own humility gives an offering that pleases God. The text challenges each one of us to consider what true devotion looks like. Not an outward appearance, amen, or in large displays, but in the sincerity of our hearts, amen. In verse 30 through 40, He gives us a warning against hypocrisy. He warns us and His disciples about the scribes and Pharisees, who were religious leaders known for their knowledge of Scripture and their visible acts of devotion. He describes how they wear long robes, they seek public respect, they desire the best seats in the synagogues, and pray long prayers for show. Amen. We have an appearance versus a reality. The scribes looked holy on the outside, didn't they? But their hearts on the inside were far from God. Jesus calls them out for their self-centered motives, revealing the dangers of seeking to please people rather than God. And He shows them the hypocrisy and the judgment from it. He says this, they will receive their greater condemnation. This is a serious warning that God sees beyond our own actions and into our hearts. Hypocrisy may not go unnoticed by God, or will not go unnoticed by God, and ultimately will bring judgments rather than honor. We must examine our own hearts. We must ask ourselves if we're more concerned with how others perceive us than the true obedience to God. Do we serve to give or give, for example? Or are we motivated by genuine love and reverence? In verse 41 through 44, Jesus shifts His focus. Jesus observes people giving offerings in the temple treasury. Many rich people give large sums of money. And then comes that one poor little widow who puts in two small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. And Jesus calls His disciples to notice her, saying that she gave more than all the others. Our God measures us by sacrifice, not amount. Jesus explains this, that the rich gave out of their abundance, but the widow gave out of her poverty. Well, while her gift was small in worldly terms, it was truly valuable to God. Because it represented her whole livelihood, not just a little portion of it, right? Her gift came as at a personal cost to her. While the others gave what they wouldn't miss. Amen? How many of y'all know people like that? It also showed a wholehearted surrender. The widow's offering illustrates that it means, or what it means, to give wholeheartedly. She held nothing back, did she? She trusted God with everything she had. Her faith, her humility, and devotion contrast with the self-righteous display of the religious leaders of that day. Jesus is teaching us that God values the heart behind the gift, not the size of our gift itself. When it is our time, our resources, or love, God wants our devotion to be genuine. The passage invites us each to think about where we're holding back from God. Are we giving Him our best each and every day? Or are we just giving Him what we can spare? It also shows the true worship. His observation shows that God is not interested in how we can give, but how we give. Or how much we can give, but how we give. The widow's offering was an act of worship for her, wasn't it? A humble acknowledgement of God as her provider and sustainer. Her faith in God's provision is an example of what it means to trust God with everything, like we're told to, amen? And true worship comes from that humility and faith. The widow's gift illustrates her dependence on God. In her poverty, she demonstrated a faith that goes beyond words, a faith that rests in God's faithfulness. True worship isn't rooted in display, is it? But it is found in surrender. And notice how Jesus points out what others overlooked. Her offering, though humble and hidden, was seen and honored by God. Her offering, though humble and hidden, was seen and honored by our God. Likewise, our quiet acts that we do of devotion and obedience may not be noticed by others, which we shouldn't be in for recognition anyway, right? But they are noticed by our precious God. The widow's faith challenges each one of us to trust God in our own moments of lack of vulnerability. Where are we struggling today to surrender our security or trust to God? Can we give Him two or our two coins? Trusting that He sees and values every small step of faith. Jesus' words in this book of Mark remind us that God's measure of devotion is not the same as ours. He values the sincerity of our hearts over the show of our actions. The widow gave all she had because she trusted in God completely. While the scribes gave only what they could uphold, or what would uphold their reputation. And just some bullet points for the scripture here today. You begin by setting the scene in Mark 12, where Jesus is in the temple courts teaching the people, pointing out the hypocrisy of some of the religious leaders. How God values the condition of the heart more than the outward appearance or large contributions. That's a pretty big theme from today, isn't it? God values the conditions of our hearts more than the outward appearance or large contributions that we make. What does it cost, or what does it mean to give from our heart? And how can we cultivate a humble and generous spirit with God that pleases God? We also see a quick explanation from Jesus. He warns people about teachers of the law who seek honor for themselves through their appearance and public behavior. They wear long robes, desire the best seats, and enjoy the greetings in the marketplaces that feed their pride. While their actions may look spiritual on the surface, they serve to elevate themselves, don't they? Rather than our God. That is false spirituality, isn't it? It exists wherever people use religion or their public image to gain recognition, to gain status, to gain power. But guys, guess what? That false recognition is not limited to the Bible days. It exists still here today, don't it? It's still limited. It isn't limited to ancient times. But it is a temptation for all of us that we're living today. Are we seeking to honor and recognition? Or do we live humbly? Do we live pointing others to God? You also see what it truly means to have a sacrificial heart. In contrast to the religious leaders, Jesus points out that poor widow who put two small coins, everything she had, into the temple treasure. The two coins are worth very little monetarily, weren't they? But to the widow herself, it was a huge sacrifice. Her act shows a willingness to trust God fully, completely, even if it means risking her own security. God isn't looking at the size of our gift, amen, but the size of our heart's willingness to sacrifice and trust Him. How are we giving to God? How are we giving to others? Are we giving from a place of abundance? Or are we willing to make our personal sacrifices, just as the widow did? Because true generosity is true acts of worship, isn't it? Jesus calls his disciples together to teach them a sensible lesson. The poor widow had put more into the treasury than all the others. The wealthy again give out of abundance, but she gives out of her poverty. Her offering is an act, a true act of worship, because it is all that she had. It's a true heart of worship, isn't it? Worship isn't about just singing or attending church, but it is about surrendering our hearts and our lives to God totally. True worship involves trusting Him in every single area of our lives, including our finances that we're talking about today. Jesus was teaching those disciples and us that God honors faith, not amounts. Our giving, when done with the heart of worship and trust, is more valuable than any amount that we could possibly think of. What would it look like for us to live with the same trust and devotion as that widow did? Are we willing to give sacrificially to God, not just financially, but in our time, in our talents, and our love to others? God values humility, faith, and sacrificial spirit. He's more interested in the posture of our hearts than the appearance of our gifts. So I encourage you today to reflect on your own giving, financially, relationally, and spiritually. Are we giving in a way that honors to God? And I ask God to put us in a place to give of humility and love, just as the widow did above. Ask for a heart that finds joy in sacrificing for Him and others. Are there areas in our lives where we're seeking recognition over humility? What sacrifices can we give and make to show our true trust in God? How can we get or make my giving of time, resources, and heart a true act of worship, as the widow did? This passage does challenge us, don't it, to look beyond our appearances and to cultivate a faith that is sacrificial, trusting, and deeply devoted to God. We must all strive to live with a heart like the widow, one that gives us, or that gives everything in worship to God. Let us follow the widow's example and offer ourselves wholeheartedly to God. May we seek to serve and give out of love and faith, not out of obligation or for appearances. And may we remember that God honors what others might overlook. He sees our hearts and He delights in our small, humble acts of true devotion. Amen. So let us give or live in gratitude and faith and in hope, knowing that Jesus has done for us what we can never do for ourselves. His sacrifice, again, is final. And it is enough for us. Amen. Hallelujah. This sermon invites us to have reflection on Jesus' finished work and the hope of His return, encouraging a response of gratitude, of faith, and hope for all of us. And His all-sufficient sacrifice. As we come for the final song, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I thank You for getting Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Lord, I thank You for the blessing in Your message, Lord. Lord, I thank You for opening our heart, mind, and soul, Lord. Lord, may we continue to have a heart like the widow did, Lord. Lord, that we would humbly come to You, no matter what the situation is, Lord. Not just with our giving, Lord, but our everyday living, Lord. May it be a true worship to You, Lord. Lord, devotion out of humility, Lord. Lord, devoting out of loving somebody else, Lord. Lord, may You put somebody in front of us this week, Lord. Lord, that we can truly tell about Your mercy, Your grace, and Your love, Lord. Lord, somebody that we can share the widow's story with You, Lord, may just be what they need to be breaking from Satan's bond this week, Lord. Lord, we thank You for each and everything that You do. In Your name I pray. Everybody say it.